Our sermon text this morning is taken from Genesis chapter 4, verse 9. Am I my brother's keeper? This is perhaps one of the more thought-provoking questions in the Bible. If you're not familiar with it, it's asked by Cain, as is appropriate here, and especially for understanding, fully understanding the Word of God. We're going to look at that text in its context. We're going to read Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 through 9. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Countenance means his expression. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. And the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? Where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? The story of Cain's response to God has a great irony, and it can actually be studied in many different applications from a lesson perspective. If you're not familiar with the story actually continues where God extends grace and mercy to Cain. Cain has just taken his brother's life and certainly merits death for his actions. But not only does God spare Cain from the fate that he gave his brother, God promises to protect Cain from harm, and he would deal with anyone who tries to harm Cain. God is being amazingly merciful to a man who was forewarned about the evil that he was about to do, and he does it anyway. And then he boldly and brashly answers God's question about his brother with, am I my brother's keeper? He's basically answering God with an attitude of, why should I care? Why should I care? Have you ever said that? Why should I care? Have you ever thought that? This is a great concern that we should all have about our fellow man, our fellow men and women all around us. And that's the approach that I'd like to take this morning in our message. Am I my brother's keeper? Are we? Are we our brother's keeper? This morning I'd like us to consider three applications. What are our responsibilities to one another? How should we evaluate our role as our brother's keeper? And then lastly, how do we stand in the eyes of God? Do we have a responsibility to watch out and care for one another? You know, when one turns to the Word of God, the Holy Bible, it becomes clear that the answer is affirmative. In fact, there are many passages in the Bible that emphasize our first application. What are our responsibilities to one another? We're told to love one another. And we're told by many people. We are commanded by Jesus. John 13, verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. We're taught this by Paul, 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verse 9. But concerning brotherly love, You have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. We are instructed by Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. And lastly, we are stressed to love one another by John. 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And then in verse 12, John even goes on to add, as a matter of reference to our sermon this morning, he writes this in verse 12, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. We ought to love one another. But how do we express this love to one another? There are many passages in the Word of God that can provide the answer. How do we show our love for one another? This morning I'm going to mention some verses to you. I call them test strip scripture verses. If you're familiar with maintaining a swimming pool, you have these little strips. They're kind of color-coded, but you dip it in the water and you pull out this test strip and it tells you what you need to do to make the water right. What you need to do in our message to make your heart right. And that test strip will show you the need to adjust the chlorine or the hardness of the water or the pH or the alkalinity. So I'm going to use these verses. I want you to know that for your benefit, these test strip scripture verses are printed entirely on one page. Copies are available on the table for you to take home and review. So how do we show our love for one another? Our first test strip scripture verse is, we are to receive one another. Romans 15:7. Therefore receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. We are to edify one another. Romans chapter 14, verse 19. Therefore let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. We are to serve one another. Galatians 5:13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. We are to submit to one another. Ephesians 5:21. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Another test strip scripture verse. We are to be hospitable to one another. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We are to consider one another. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The next three, if you're counting, numbers 7, 8, and 9, are a little bit different in a sense. These will come into play when we're dealing with someone who may have been overtaken in a fault. No specifics, just there's an issue, there's a dispute, there's a concern, call it what you may. But we are to exhort one another. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you with an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to an end. Got another one for you. We are to bear
one another's burdens.
Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2. Brethren, that's you guys and me. If a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are a spiritual restorer, such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Our last test scripture verse, we are to be forgiving to one another. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. In light of these one another passages, is there any doubt that we are to be our brother's keeper? It's a question that you can ask yourself right now. How am I doing? What do you think your test strip will reveal about you and your heart? And what needs to be added? What needs to be changed to make it right with God? To stimulate our thought, help us re-examine how well we are fulfilling our obligations to one another. Consider the following questions as we move into our second application. How should we evaluate our role as our brother's keeper? This is where your test strip comes into play. When one becomes a brother or a sister in Christ, ask yourself what Romans 15:7 says about we are to receive one another. Ask yourself, do I receive them into the family of God? Or do I ignore them? Are they properly assimilated in the family life of the congregation? Do they remain on the fringe of your life? Do we even know their names? If we don't know their names, we can be sure that we are failing as our brother's keeper. Number two, from Romans 14:9, we are to edify one another. Ask yourself, do I edify them? Do I teach? Do I instruct? Or do I put stumbling blocks in their way? Brothers and sisters, as individuals, we are to be bodybuilders. We are to encourage the members of the body. Or are we like a disease, weakening the members of the body of Christ? It could be by our example. It could be by our actions. It could be by our words, our thoughts, our attitudes. We may not even be aware that we're doing it. Galatians 5:13 reminds us that we are to serve one another. Ask yourself, do I serve them in love? Or do I expect them to serve me? Never be too proud to serve. Think of Jesus and the washing of the feet. Serve them in love. Ephesians 5, verse 21. We are to be submitting to one another. Ask yourself, do I submit to them? Or do I arrogantly rule over them? Do we make ourselves available to them? Do we make them comfortable? A smiling face, a warm handshake? Are we taking time to get to know them? First Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 10, which is the verse about we ought to be hospitable to one another. Ask yourself, do I demonstrate hospitality to them? Do I visit them in their time of need? Do I invite them to our homes? Do I accept their invitation to their home? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25 reminds us we are to consider one another. Ask yourself, do I even consider them? Are we even aware of who they are? Are we unaware of their struggles? Are we unaware of their challenges? If we are unaware, ask yourself why. Maybe it's because we don't assemble enough as a body with them. We might wonder about them, but just wondering about them is not enough. Doesn't satisfy the command to consider them. And if they drift away, do you make an effort to reach out to them? And now we get to the three test strip scripture verses for when there's an issue. Again, whatever it may be. Hebrews 3, verses 12 through 14. We are to exhort one another. Ask yourself, do I exhort them? Meaning, do I encourage them? If there's an issue, a lot of times, we're afraid to confront them. We're afraid they may run away. If we truly love them and we approach them with humility, they're not likely to run away. And remember, if they do run away, they're running away from God. They're not running away from you. This exhortation, this encouragement, it's to be every day. Every day. Sometimes we wait too long. Number 8, Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. We are to bear one another's burdens. Ask yourself, am I willing to bear their burdens? Am I willing to help them overcome the challenges that they have? Am I willing to help them become stronger? Well, sometimes we just kind of run away and not be bothered. Tough questions. Our final test scripture verse is Ephesians 4, verse 32. We are to be forgiving one another. Ask yourself, am I quick to forgive when they repent? Fear of not being forgiven and accepted back into the family may keep some people from repenting and returning to the field. Look at your actions. Do we communicate a willingness to accept with open arms and offer complete forgiveness? Tough thing to do, but we are commanded by God to do that. Now it's time to look at your history and see what it reveals about yourself. Nobody else needs to know. This is between you and God. What did you learn about yourself? What did these verses bring to your mind about reminders of what you did this morning, yesterday, last week, last month? What did you learn about yourself? Like Cain, we have to answer to God. You can be honest. You can be sincere. You can be sarcastic. You can be cynical. Or you could even try to avoid the question altogether. But at the end of the day, and this brings us to our third and final application, how do we stand in the eyes of God? How we answer these questions may reveal how well or how poorly we're living up to the one responsibility we have that includes others, and that is to love one another as Christ loved us. John 13, verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. We started with that, we end with that. Bookends. Love one another. Loving one another will hold, those bookends will hold together all that other stuff in between. Very strong scripture verse. Love one another. If we have failed to be our brother's keeper, we need to repent of our lack of concern, our lack of involvement, or whatever it is that's hindered us. If we have failed to be our brother's keeper, we need to confess our shortcomings in this area to God. And if we have failed to be our brother's keeper, we need to resolve to apply with passion these one another verses that we've just studied. Are you your brother's keeper? That's something that every single one of us needs to ask ourselves. This message is not a condemnation on my brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not a condemnation for anyone in particular. It's a reminder, including for me. It's a reminder, and it's meant as a tool for the avoidance of backsliding. It's meant as a notice, a heads up, a warning to set aside two things that I consider to be very, very dangerous: your ego and your pride. Set them aside, bad stuff. And most importantly, it's meant as a reminder for us to be like the best keeper that we know. And that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray that today's study has stimulated our thinking about the responsibilities that we have towards one another, our comrades in Christ, and that we live our lives to win souls for Christ. I pray that we remember our Savior who died on the cross for us, took the penalty of our sins, every single one. Do you think Jesus ever asked, "Am I my brother's keeper?" No way. Never. There was never any doubt that he knew that he was. There was never any doubt that he knows that he is. There was never any doubt that he knows that he always will be. Jesus Christ, our Savior. Remember his words. Exhibit his patience. Show his mercy. Emulate his love. And also, like him, like Jesus, be your brother's keeper. Let us pray. Oh Lord God, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we can come here and hear your word. We thank you for your word. We thank you for our brothers and sisters to our left, to our right, those that may not be here today with us, those we encounter at work, in our family. We pray, Lord, that we are reminded today that we are to be keepers of them, watching over them, caring for them, loving them, just like your son Jesus has shown us and told us to do.
Lord, I pray that every one of us, as we get opportunities, may be salt and light to them. Salt, so we may flavor their lives. Salt, that we may help preserve them, encourage them. And in the light, that we may be a brightness to their dark day, a light to this evil world, a light in front of the challenges that the enemy will throw at us. And Father God, I thank you again for this day. I pray, Lord, that we take these one another verses and we study them and we make them part of our daily life as we maintain being our brother's keeper. In Jesus' name I pray. We pray. Amen.